I did not even realize you were still in there. Thanks. Okay. We'll have show and tell on stage next week. It's good. Thanks, man. Playing well. Sounding good tonight, guys. It was really good. Purpose. I'm going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for your presence here. And God, that you've got a word for us, God, that's from your word. And God, I just pray that tonight you would really just speak clearly, God. And God, that I would just get out of the way and that you would just speak, God. And so we lift you up and we give you this time and commit this time to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd also like to encourage you to get to House Builders on Wednesday night. If you haven't heard of Dino Rizzo, just as a note, he won't actually be here in person. It will be via video because he's from America, you know. But he was at State Conference this year, which I was at, and he was incredible. Don't miss it. Just an amazing church, just doing so much in their community. And I know that's the heart of our church as well, just to do stuff and to make a change in the lives of people around us. So I would say, I reckon Wednesday nights at House Builders already has a skew. There are a lot of young people on a Wednesday night at House Builders. So let's get it even bigger. Let's get it even more. And let's all get there and get it. And don't miss out, because I know the message that they're going to play. And it's incredible. And I'm looking forward to hearing it again. So make sure that you hear it as well. That'll be good. Sweet. Before we start, I want to thank everybody, and I just this morning was a bit about honoring people, and I loved that, and I just want to thank you for being here, and for everybody who just so faithfully and selflessly serves week in, week out, to see God's kingdom just expand and His church be built. So thank you, and I especially also, I just want to thank Mum and Dad as well. Dad's overseas, but I just want to give them some honor, because seriously, it's amazing, and I feel just so undeservedly lucky to have them as parents. I really do, and to see what God has done with them and with this church from what was almost 20 years ago that we moved to Wollongong and we started at Coromel Primary, and to see what He has done and God, just I guess God's faithfulness as Mum and Dad are faithful. Is such a lesson for me, and a challenge for me, and an inspiration for me. So thank you. Thank you. Dad will hear that sometime. I really believe that 2012 is going to be a building year for us. And it's going to be a building year in the physical, because we're going to be building a new building, which is really exciting, and I'm pumped for that, and it's going to be heaps cool. But I don't think it's just going to be about there's a new physical space, but I think it's going to be about personal growth, personal building, spiritual growth, and we're going to see life groups built, we're going to see ministries built, we're going to see everything grow, amen, and God's going to just build His house, and I really believe that, and I think that we can come into 2012 just with faith and expectation that God's going to do something incredible. So I want to talk about that tonight, and I want to share just some thoughts that I had and some stuff that I feel like God was really showing me this week, and I encourage you just to hear it and hear what God's saying to you, because I honestly believe that not one of us is here by mistake. Nobody is kind of accidentally turned up to church tonight. Nobody just came along because they had nothing better to do. You might think that that's why you came, but it's not why you're here. God has something to speak to you, and I really encourage you to be open to it and listen to what He has to say, and not listen to what I have to say, because you don't need to listen to what I have to say. It's not that good, but listen to what God has to say. Amen. I really believe that when we build together, we will just see everything that God wants to do, and we'll see incredible things happen. Amen. And the question is, what will our response be to the things that God has called us to do? What will our response be to the purpose that God has given us? Because nobody misses out on a purpose from God. And you can't look at purpose 2012 and say, well, that's all well and good for everybody else that's here tonight, but I don't really think that 2012 there's a purpose for me. Maybe 2011, there was God had a purpose for me. Maybe 2013, God's got a purpose for me, but 2012, I'm just really not sure. No, God has a purpose for you this year and next year and every year. And the question is, will we respond to His call and to His request and to His purpose? Amen. Woo. So I want to talk tonight about Zerubbabel. Yeah, I'm going to have another go at some Hebrew names. We're going to go for it. Zerubbabel, if you don't know, it was the governor of Judah at the time that the Israelites were in exile in Babylon. So basically what had happened is, you know, the Israelites had been doing all this wrong stuff and they'd been worshipping other gods. And so then God says, okay, well, the Babylonians are going to overtake you. And so the Babylonians overtake Israel, the people, and take them captive. And you remember like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. You know those stories? Same time. Like, so Zerubbabel is like just a bit after them. So they're like, their stories about people who are in like exile in Babylon. So we're still in that same place, okay? Sweet. All right, we're there. Then Zerubbabel is called, chosen by God, to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild his temple. Cool, which I think relates to us building the church. Amen. In Zechariah 4, it says in verse 6, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel is given this massive call from God to go back and rebuild the temple that was destroyed. You know, it's the house of God, and to rebuild that. But this doesn't just happen. Like, it's not just like God says, like, here you go, like, you're going to do this, and then Zerubbabel just says, sweet, and he just then sits down and nothing happens. You know, he has to go and do it. And that's the challenge, I think, for us. God has chosen and he has called each and every one of us to do something incredible. The question is, will we do it? Will we get up and will we go and will we do the things necessary to actually fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I think there's three things that we need. Like, there's probably like 1,000 things, but there's three things that I'm going to talk about because, you know, 3 points is good for a message anymore and you just start getting bored. So 3 things that we need if we're going to build the house, and 3 things that Zerubbabel had. Sweet. The first thing is favor. And you might think that's a funny one because, you know, there's not much you can do about favor. You think like, well, that's just lucky. But I don't think it is, amen. I honestly believe that God is with us and that we can have faith and that we need to set our expectation to God moving in our lives. It's not just like a nice idea to build a church. It's not like when we were living in Nanango in Queensland, the mum and dad just went, oh, let's just move to Wollongong and, you know, we'll open up a little church club and, you know, maybe we'll get a few people and we'll just build this thing. That's not how it works. You know, God calls you to fulfill his purpose. And if God calls you, then he's going to equip you, amen? And so his favor is on it. And you don't have to strive or fight for that. I think sometimes we feel like, you know, God tells you to do something, but then you've kind of got to do it despite God's help or without God's help. And it's like, well, okay, either God's like against me or he's just ambivalent or he just is kind of on the edge, or maybe like after I've kind of done most of it, he'll just like chip in a little. That's not how God works. You know, God is with us and he is for us. And when he is with us, when he is for us, then nobody can be against us. Amen. And so Zerubbabel has this incredible favor of God on what he's been called to do. In Ezra 1, I'm going to just read a little bit of that, verse 1 to 5. You can open up your Bible and you can read it with me. It says, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia," so Persia, Babylon, you know, he's the king. They weren't Christians because it was before Jesus, but not touched by God, like not filled with God, not an Israelite, nothing to do with God, no connection to God at all. But it says that the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout the realm and put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. I think it's incredible that here's this king who's got no connection to God, nothing there, but he understands that this is God. And he says, I've been given all this power, and his heart is moved by God to just put incredible favor on building this temple. And he says, not only am I going to give you permission to go back, like this is like politically an interesting move. Like politically, he's kind of saying, I'm going to let these people that I've got captive rebuild their culture and their temple and their city. Like that's a strange thing to do if you're a king in the natural, yeah? But he does it because God moves his heart. And he says, not only will I let you do it, but everybody in our kingdom who you live around, they need to give you money to build the temple. They're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for you to build your temple. And I think sometimes like we expect people to be against the building of God's house. And we go into our city, you go into your work or uni or wherever you're going, and you expect people to be negative about God and negative about the church. And there is negativity in our world. But I think that we can expect God's favor because God's going to build his church. And I think we can expect people's hearts to be moved by God. I think that we can be looking for the people that God is moving in the heart of already, yeah? You know, God moved this King Cyrus who was totally disconnected from him. He moved his heart to enable the building of the temple and to give Zerubbabel everything that he needed, which was enormous, like an enormous gift. And I think we can expect the same things in our life. Like, why do I expect bad things to happen? Like, we always expect bad things to happen. But I don't expect the favor and the blessing of God. Like, why wouldn't I expect God's favor if I'm trying to build his house and his kingdom? You know, maybe if it's just about myself and I'm just trying to get rich, then maybe I can't expect God's favor and blessing. But if I'm building his house, I know that he will build it, amen? And I don't have to expect God to just be kind of apathetic or negative about it. I don't need to expect other people to be negative about it. I can expect God to move the hearts of other people and grant me favor, amen? Luke 4, Jesus gets up in the temple, in the same temple. That's pretty cool. And he reads this passage from Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yep. Jesus has already fulfilled the prophecy. Yes. He has already brought the year of the Lord's favor. And I want to claim that on 2012, the year of the Lord's favor. That I don't have to expect negativity. I don't have to expect things to go wrong. Like stuff happens, but my expectation can be faith and life, and that God is going to build his church, and that God is going to move in an incredible way. And the favor of God is not something to strive for, but it's something that's already been given to us as a free gift. Amen? You know, in Haggai, God is talking to Haggai about Zerubbabel. And Haggai 2, verse 2, it says, speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what is covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Amen. God's promise is that He is with us. He says, I will shake the nations to give you the things to build the house. Now, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. This house that you build will be greater than the previous house. And I want to expect the same thing. Yeah, I don't want to worry or expect negativity, but I want to expect that God has favor for us, and that the house that we are building, whether that's a physical church, and I know that you understand that it's not just a physical church, but the house that we are building is greater than the house that we have come from, and I believe greater than the house that we are currently in. Amen. God is with us. In Romans 8:28, it says that we know that God moves, and in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He justified. Those He justified, He glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You know, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for you in your school or in your workplace or when you're at university, if God is for you and He is for you, then who can be against you? Who can stand? What can stand against God? Nothing. I think if we want to have the purpose of God fulfilled, like, and this doesn't have to, like, you don't have to wait until next January, but like, it's right now as well. We can expect the favor of God because He promises that to promises it to us. Amen. So we need favor. Zerubbabel had incredible favor. And the second thing we need is perseverance. This is the less fun one, the less, you know, bless me one. You know, there will be challenges. But I believe that the people who will see the fruit, the people who will see the completion of the work, are the people that persevere, the people who don't give up, the people who stand there no matter what, and no matter what comes, day in, day out, devote themselves to God and to building His kingdom and to building His church. Amen. You can't expect to see something significant be built if you won't pay a price for that and you won't stand and persevere. Amen. We can't look at the circumstance of our life or the circumstance of our ministry or church and be discouraged. You know, the people who are around, the Israelites who are around, they knew what the old temple looked like. You know, the temple that David spent all, like, saved all this money for years and years and years and years, and then Solomon built this temple that was incredible. Like, this amazing temple, they knew what it looked like, and it was destroyed. And so when Zerubbabel comes back to build a new temple, they're like, well, we saw the old one. You're not going to be able to compete with that. Like, that was incredible. That was this huge, amazing thing. And you're not going to be able to do that. And I think it's easy to look at, like, other things around us and think, oh, we're not going to build that. Like, we can't do that. But if we persevere and we stand and we don't let ourselves be discouraged, then God will use us to build something greater. Amen. It says, I'm gonna read some scriptures, like, again, that I've already read. And it says, Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people in the land, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. We need to face the challenges ahead, knowing that it'll be long, knowing that it will be hard, but knowing that God is with us, amen? And not letting those things, not letting the difficulty be the confession that we live by, but let the favor and the blessing and the presence of God be the thing that we live by, amen? So that when we build, we can be strong and we can persevere because God is with us, amen? Good. In Zechariah, he says it again. I've already read this. I'm going to read it again. Is that okay?
Yeah, good.
I think it's okay. I want to read it again. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What are you, O mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the name of Zerubbabel. I was interested by that because it says like people will celebrate when the capstone comes out. So like when they finish the temple and they build, like people will celebrate. And I think that's easy and that's what we do. Like we will celebrate when you know, when we open the doors to our new church building, we will celebrate. Yeah? But it also says that, that men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The plumb line, like, that's just the beginning. That's just like making sure that the walls are straight. So right at the start of the work, the people will rejoice because they can see what God's doing. And I think we need to learn that we can't just celebrate at the end, but we need to celebrate while we're building because God is building, amen? And He is with us. And even though the plumb line might just be the start, even though what we see now might just be the start, God is with us and He will build His church. And so we can celebrate and rejoice the whole way through, amen? In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says to Peter, he says, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now Jesus' promise to Peter is a promise to us. And I believe that if we would be a rock, Jesus would build his church on it. Now he's not going to build his church on people that are flaky or people that are going to just bail out. But he will build his church on people who stand, people who persevere, people who are in it for the long haul. Amen. You know, God's purpose for 2012 is not just about 2012. It's about 2013 and 2020 and 2100 and 2300 and I don't know, whenever. And you know, when Enterprise is flying at warp 5, you know, City Life Church will be representing, I believe. Let's just, come on. You know the Star Trek's true and that in, was it 2060 something? You know, we'll discover warp drive. There you go. Malcolm knows it. I'm joking. Who knows, you know, what might happen in the future. But I want a church that's still there, amen. And God wants a church that's still strong and that has made a huge change in this whole city. And I want a city that knows and worships God. I don't want a group of a small group of people that hang out in a city of 200,000. I want a church that glorifies God and where God draws people to himself and where Jesus would build his church on the rock, amen? And that's us and that's what we can do and that's the promise of God. So we need to keep standing and not give up, yeah? And when things don't seem to be working or things don't seem to be going anywhere, we need to stand and persevere and not despise the day of small things, not be discouraged by seeing the small things, but rejoice in the small things because we know God is on them and He is building. Amen? Good. Whew. I feel like I'm doing okay tonight. So we need favor, we need perseverance, and we need unity. No, Zerubbabel didn't build the temple by himself. In Ezra 3 it says, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled as one man in Jerusalem. And then in verse 7 it says, they gave money to the masons and the carpenters. They gave food and drink and oil to the people and all of this stuff. And they did it all as authorized by the king of Persia. So they assembled as one people to build the house in Jerusalem. In Ezra 5:2 it says, Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel and Jeshua son of Jozadak. It's both Joshua, depends on which book you're in, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. I'm really interested that like God calls Zerubbabel, and he says, oh, by your hand, like you're going to lay the foundation, and you're going to complete the work. But it's not just him that builds it. It says that all of the people of Israel gathered as one man. They built it together. All of the prophets of God were with him building. So all these people, they came together in unity to build the house. Amen?
Yes.
You are not an island. And God's purpose for you will always be in connection and relationship with other people. You know, if you come and tell me that God is telling you to go away and be by yourself for your life, I will tell you that you are wrong. That's simple. I don't need to go and seek God about that. God will always call you where people are and will always call you to build in relationship with other people. And God has called you to be here tonight and to be in this church and to be building his house right here. Amen? He has called you for a purpose right here and right now in this place. And we need to come together to do it together. We can't afford to try and do it by ourselves or give up coming and gathering together. Now is the time to be strong together, to build together, to put aside division or conflict and unite to build the house of God. Now, we don't have time to muck around with petty stuff. We need to get about God's kingdom and his purpose and building his church and coming together as one man to build what he has called us to build. Amen? In Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Now, I'm not just saying we should be united because it's a good idea. I'm saying it because that's where God commands the blessing. And in Psalm 133, he talks about it being like this oil of anointing. Like the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God poured out onto the people. Like that's what Aaron would represent. and running out and pouring down in his hair and in his beard. And I thought about trying it, but I decided not to. You know, and that's the blessing of God because the people are united. Amen? And it's not just a nice idea, but it's God's command. And it says that when we are united, he will command a blessing. And I really think that if we can get it, and if we can get that we're here and we're called to be here together, and that means putting aside conflict, and that means attending services and life group and being devoted and encouraging each other and not letting negative talk come out and building together, then God will command a blessing. But if we try and do our own thing, then we'll never build his house. Amen? We're not here to build my house or your house. We're here to build his house. Amen? And we need to build the house together. And God has so much for us. And God has an incredible purpose for your life if we would just stand and build. And it can't just be a temporary thing or a half-hearted thing or I'll do it for a little while thing, but it needs to be long-haul, committed to the house of God, committed to building, committed to his purpose. And the question for tonight really is, will you build the house of God? Amen? God is building his house. Jesus is building his house. Will you build it with him? Now, I believe that those who stand will build the house, and I really want to stand with people that will build the house. So I think we can have faith and we can have expectation that God's favor is just going to be on everything that we can do. And I think that we can like just stand with God and stand and persevere and see him do everything that he's got called, and we need to do that together in unity, amen. And so as I finish tonight, maybe we can just stand together and let's pray. And if you want to build the house, then stand with me and say, yeah, that's me and I want to do that. I want to commit myself and I want to build the house of God and I want to see his purpose fulfilled in my life and in our church and in our city and in my school and in my workplace and in my university. So if you're with me on that, then let's stand and let's pray together. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for your presence here right now. God, I thank you for your word and how alive it is. And God, that you speak to us. And God, I know that that's not just words on a page, But that's your word to us, God. And I believe it's a word for this season as well, God. And it's not just a nice idea, but God, your hand and your voice is in it. And so, God, I just pray that right now you would stir our hearts to build your kingdom, to build your church, God. That right now you'd be putting something fresh in our hearts, God. That we would put aside any pettiness, God. We would put aside any sin. We would put aside any other stuff that's in the way and just devote ourselves to you, God, and your house. And God, I pray that you would use every person here, every single person here for your glory and for your kingdom, God. And I thank you that you will and that you are with us. And God, we can expect your provision and your favor. So God, I pray for your blessing right now. I pray that as we come into this week where we talk about purpose, God, that you would just move in an incredible way. Thank you, Lord. I really believe like that's something like for people tonight, and I really believe like God was speaking to me this week when I was reading that. And I encourage you just to, I don't know, let that sing in your heart, maybe read it for yourself. Get God's word into your heart every day, and use this time this week as we think about purpose for 2012. Use this time to really seek God and seek him about what he wants you to do to build his kingdom. Not about your own kingdom or your own house, but about his house, his kingdom, his purpose. That's what I want, and I know that's what you want. So I just encourage you to do that. Let's do that together. Amen. Before we finish, if you don't know God, I want to give you an opportunity to start a relationship with God tonight. You know, Jesus died on the cross for us, and that's what he says. He says, I've come to bring life, and I've come to proclaim the good news. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to heal the sick, you know. I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And right now, God wants to speak to you, and he wants to move in your life. He wants to show you how much he loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bless you. He wants to start a relationship with you. And so if you don't know God and you want to start a relationship with him, or if you've been a Christian but you just feel far from God, tonight is the chance to just say, yep, I want a fresh start. I want a fresh thing. You know, the Bible says that his mercy is new every morning. And that means that every day we can come to him and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done that separated me from you. Forgive me and come into my life. And so if that's you, then we're going to pray a prayer all together. And it's going to come up on the screen really easy. And just pray it from your heart and pray it like to God. And so let's do that together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. If you prayed that, you can get Becoming a Friend of Jesus, this book. You'll see the hosts and ask about that. It's just a bunch of studies. Get into a life group, because it's no good just getting in and doing it by yourself. You know, it needs to be done in unity. Just get to everything you can this week. Get to house builders, get to life group, get to church next Sunday. Just fill yourself with God and get into his house. Amen. Let's play a song to finish.